Father, we just thank you that you have given us your word. And Lord, as we just open it up today, we just pray, Lord, that our hearts will be good ground to receive your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Actually, just before I start, do you like the I am thankful?
Yes.
We're going to leave that up there for a few weeks. And in a couple of weeks' time, actually, I'm going to do a mini series on that subject of I am thankful. And so I just want you to know that. But just before I start, let's just take 60 seconds. Is there somebody shout out something that you are thankful to God for?
Salvation.
Salvation.
God's provided all my needs.
God's provided
all my needs.
Not some.
All
your needs.
Forgiving
your sins. Forgiving your sins. Somebody over there. Isn't it great to have Doug back in church today? Something that was bad, God's turned around for good for you.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Somebody else.
Joy of the Lord is my strength
and his faithfulness. One more thing that you're thankful for. Yes.
Salvation.
Actually, one more other thing. Come on. For your family.
Trish.
So are you thankful, everybody?
Yes.
Praise God. Now, didn't we have a great Easter here last weekend at Real Life Church? It was good. On Good Friday, so we're starting the message now, so just zone in. I'm not going to preach for too long, but I really feel this is from the Lord. It's a message I've been waiting on the Lord for all week. But last week, of course, we started with Good Friday, and what a great service Good Friday was. And we remind ourselves, didn't we, on Good Friday about the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made when he laid his life down to rescue us from sin and make us right with God. Amen? Then on Resurrection Sunday, what a great service that was. We remind ourselves that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead as conqueror over death, hell, and the devil. We also reminded ourselves that because of Jesus Christ, we too will be resurrected to eternal life. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, one rapture and we are out of here. Amen.
Amen.
Bang. Imagine if it happened now. Boom. And there'd be all these holes in the ceiling. And we've just gone through. Thank God that someone told us about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the Amen. So that's what we did last weekend. And so the title of today's life message is A Restored Identity. And what we're going to do is we're kind of building on last weekend's messages. So are you ready, everybody?
Yes.
And what we're going to do is we're actually going to go back to the first book in the Bible. And I've got it on the screen, the verse I just want to show you. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. The book of Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Here at Real Life Church, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't just contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." Before we continue, I just feel it necessary to say something that I wasn't going to say, but I don't want anybody to be confused. See that words, those words there? It says, so God created human beings in His own image. That's not necessarily, it's not talking about having arms and legs, the physical. It's talking about the whole human makeup. So I just want people to understand that. It's not like God, see the Bible says God is spirit. And they that worship Him in spirit and truth. It doesn't mean God's walking around the universe like a man. So I just want people to understand that we're made in the image of God. We're God, like God. The Message Bible says in the same verse, it says, God created human beings. He created them, and this is what I'm trying to say, He created them God-like. Reflecting God's nature. Everybody still with me? We're going to go somewhere with this. It's interesting to note that when God made all the animals and the plants, He created them to produce offspring of the same kind. Consequently, an apple tree, this is really deep this morning, always produces apple seeds. and then produces more apple trees when those seeds are planted. An apple tree cannot produce watermelons. I told you this is deep today. Because from the beginning, all plants produce after their own kind. And animals produce after their own kind too. Kangaroos always produce kangaroos. Horses produce horses, and eagles produce eagles. One of the reasons why I don't believe in evolution is because of what the Bible teaches. It says animals produce after their own kind. Plants produce after their own kind. Leave it there. After God had finished creating the vegetation or the animals, both in the sea and upon the land, he finally came to the point where he was ready to create the pinnacle of all his creation. And ladies and gentlemen, the pinnacle of God's creation is people, is human beings. And the profound significance of God's final act of creation is that he made Adam and Eve to be like him and after his likeness. Indeed, people, all people, have been made in the image of God. So always remember that all people are wonderfully made, including you. The stamp of God is upon you. You're a somebody as far as heaven is concerned. Amen? You could rightly say that God's creation of Adam and Eve was God producing after his own kind. Is everybody still with me? God gave to Adam and Eve their godlike identity. Adam and Eve reflected the nature of God. There was a God-likeness to them and in them, and they were glorious and wonderful people. And God would come down into the Garden of Eden each afternoon or in the cool of the day to visit with them, and God would do family time with Adam and Eve. God would walk with them. God would talk with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, God draws great pleasure in his creation. He loves the zebras. Aren't they beautiful? He loves the giraffes. When we were in Kruger Park, we saw a lot of giraffes for show. Remember that? And giraffes, I didn't realize this, but they've got these really long eyelashes. And just so beautiful. God delights also at the speed of the cheetahs running. And God probably laughs at the funny-looking platypus and the improbable bumblebee. And God called all the animals and plants good. At creation, God was just pleased with all of this. But after creating Adam and Eve, God then called his creation very good. Adam and Eve were above anything he had made in heaven and on earth. They were incredible. And today all people are incredible and precious to God. God loved the animals, but he only fellowshipped and communed with Adam and Eve. Because they were created after his kind, they were like him, and God was comfortable being with them. They were his family. Now, I have a personal belief, but I must confess I can't prove this belief. So you can take it or leave it. But you all know I'm probably right. But I suspect that Adam and Eve, this is a personal belief, radiated the glory of God like Moses did after encountering God on the mountaintop. Moses' face just glowed with the glory of God for a short while after meeting with God on the mountain. Some of you might have read the story. It's an incredible story. And then when Moses came down from the mountain, the people could not look at him because his face literally shone like the sun. And so Moses had to wear a veil over his face until the glory faded away. But I suspect very strongly that Adam and Eve always glowed with God's glory because they walked with him and fellowship with him every afternoon. They just shone like the sun. They would have presumed that the glory upon them and in them was normal and natural because for them it was normal and natural. It's interesting that in the book of Romans, the Bible talks about God's glory being revealed in us again when Jesus returns. However, when Adam and Eve broke the heart of God, and we spoke about this last weekend, but when Adam and Eve broke the heart of God by disobeying him and eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they became ensnared by sin and the tyranny of the devil. They were separated or cut off from God and from the glory of God. And then last week we looked at that and we celebrated Easter and we reminded ourselves about God's amazing plan of grace to rescue people back to himself. And we reminded ourselves that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You can only be right with God through Jesus Christ. Are you right with God? Are you right with it? You could be right with God today. Nonetheless, when Adam and Eve disobeyed and rebelled against God, not only were they cut off or separated from God, but something else happened. Something else very awful happened to Adam and Eve and to their descendants that affects us even here today in this room. Romans 1, verse 21 to 23 says this. This is what happened after they fell and sinned. It says that they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. I've quoted that verse before. But as a result, their minds became dark and confused. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, but as a result, their minds became dark and confused. That's what sin did to them. After the fall, people became dark and confused in their thinking. They made gods of anything they wanted, and their divine identity as God's offspring became redefined by the things that they loved and the things that they feared. Their sin not only separated them from God, but their sin that was now within them began to mar, distort, and corrupt the likeness and glory of God that gave them their identity. Everybody still with me? Mankind not only got cut off from God, but mankind, in a sense, became disfigured before God and before heaven. There's a terrible story in the Bible, some of you have read it in the book of Judges, where some towns in Israel were under siege from a tyrant. And this tyrant would conquer an Israelite town, or when he would conquer an Israelite town, he would then get the survivors and then he would rip out the right eye of the survivors. Terrible. This tyrant wanted to put his mark on God's ancient people by physically disfiguring them. In the same way, sin has put its mark on people where it has mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, sexually, spiritually, and soulishly disfigured the human race throughout all the generations. Sin and the devil have worked to successfully corrupt the image of God in people. So now the human race is largely a reflection of the damaging power of sin rather than a reflection of the awesome likeness and glory of Almighty God. Adam and Eve found their true identity in their relationship with God. That relationship with God defined who they really were. And that is that they were made in the glorious likeness and image of God. They were God-like. But when that divine relationship was lost, mankind was reduced to being redefined by the things that marred God's image within people. So even today, and perhaps even more than ever, some people are living their lives being defined by a cause, a religion, an achievement, or what they do. Others are living their lives being defined by a failure in their life, a tragedy in their life, relationship breakdowns, phobias, abuse, feuds, anger, failure, sickness, greed, disappointment, selfish ambition, and other such things. Sin has imposed its dark image and likeness upon people to replace the divine image of God. It's going to get better in a few moments, everybody. But I'm just trying to make a point. And God's heart is filled with pain for hurting people and for glory lost. Thank God. Thank God that Jesus Christ stepped into our world to make us right with God. Thank God that Jesus Christ also stepped into our world to disarm the devil of the power and authority over people so we could have eternal life. Thank God. Can we say thank God? Thank God we're on our way to heaven because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
However, you can be right with God. Anybody here right with God? You can be right with God because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You can be destined for heaven. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet, you can still be burdened down with a distorted, marred, and corrupted image of who you really are. It's like having an identity crisis. And this distorted image is something that lingers from your past and the damage that your sin did to you. And this is a big issue, ladies and gentlemen. Many dear Christian people have been utterly confused over why they continually struggle in their Christian walk and why they keep tripping over the same issues year in and year out. And it's because there is a battle happening inside of every believer concerning the things that define who they really are. And this issue strikes at the very core of the believer's being, and it must be and it can be resolved. And the point of this message today is to make clear that Jesus Christ has come into our world with resurrection power to not only give us eternal life, but to also restore to his people their true identity, and that is the likeness and image of God in the here and now. Can you hear me, everybody? Are you all focused? I think you are. I think you are. Therefore, instead of being defined by a marriage breakdown or numerous marriage breakdowns, instead of being defined by abuse, instead of being defined by fear and phobia, instead of being defined by your failures, instead of being defined by selfish ambition, instead of being defined by your sexuality, instead of being defined by what the gossips have cruelly said about you, and instead of being defined even by your successes, Jesus Christ has now come to restore you, heal you, and redefine you back to the image and likeness of God if you will let him. Now, we all know, I believe, that all sorts of stuff happens to us as we journey through life that impacts us and speaks to the way we define our lives and who we really are and how we see ourselves. But in addition, we're all born with weaknesses and flaws that can also wrongly define who you are. For example, and when I say these examples, if I look at you, it doesn't mean I'm connecting you with this example. It just means my eye is just wandering over this good-looking congregation today. In fact, let's just practice right now. Okay, here we go. Some people are born with a propensity to gossip. Okay, let's get it out. Anybody here like to gossip? Because the other gossips want to know who you are so they can talk about you. Some people are born with a propensity to move from one broken relationship to another. Some people are born with a propensity to be greedy. It's a little bit of all of this in all of us, isn't it? It's just that some of this is more in other people than others, isn't it? Some people are born with a propensity just to get angry. They're always angry. Yeah. Some people are born with a propensity to drink too much alcohol. Some people are born where they experience same-sex attraction. Some people are born with a propensity to worry. They just worry. Some people are born narcissists, you know, where people are just really in love with themselves. The point I'm trying to make is none of us were born in strength. You weren't born in strength. And none of us are born problem-free. We all have weaknesses that we're born with, absolutely. And the huge mistake that we can make is to justify our weaknesses by saying, God made me that way. Or that's the way I've always been. That's how my family behaves, so you have to accept me the way I am. And when you justify your weaknesses, and we've all got them, including the ones you were born with, then you're letting those weaknesses define who you are rather than letting Jesus Christ define who you really are. Oh, my family's always, we've always been a bunch of gossips. That's the way we are. We don't mean any harm. Well, you've just let that define who you really are. Oh, we're a little bit greedy, but it's okay. Nothing wrong with owning a few things. Well, you've just defined who you are. All of us, and especially me, because I know me really well, we have desires and we have weaknesses which are warped as a result of our fallen nature. Remember, we have been disfigured. And the desire I have for things God has forbidden is a reflection of how sin has distorted me, not of how God has made me. Did everybody get that statement? That's actually, I've got it on the screen in front of me. I'll read it how I've got it for you. The desire we have for things God has forbidden is a reflection of how sin has distorted us, not of how God has made us. You can run with that statement. That's actually probably the deepest statement you're going to get out of this sermon today. Because I hear people say, well, that's just how God made me. Maybe in this way, it's how sin has distorted us. So instead of letting the weaknesses you were born with define your identity, be defined by Jesus Christ. Everybody still with me? Yeah, really listening well today. I really appreciate that. We know that Jesus Christ came to die as our substitute for our sins so that we could be made right with God. Amen. Jesus Christ is indeed concerned about our spiritual life and our eternal destiny. Jesus is the way to know God. We know that. But Jesus Christ also came to rectify the disfigurement caused by the sin in our lives. He came to restore us back to who we really are. And this is part of the ongoing redemptive work of Jesus Christ in our lives now that we're born again. Consequently, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is concerned about our mental, emotional, physical, sexual, relational, and soul side of our beings. In fact, God is concerned about our entire person and making us whole again with our restored identity. The healthiest thing a person can do is not go to the gym. And it's not to go on a diet. Though those things have some benefit, amen? And I'm all for them. But the healthiest thing a person can do is to become born again and then surrender all those various areas of their life to Jesus Christ. We focus on the born again part. We focus on being forgiven of our sins, and so we should. But if we want to throw off the shackles of being burdened down with a distorted, marred, and corrupted image, then we need to focus also on surrendering all the various areas of our lives to the authority and power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 8, verse 29 says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son Jesus. The most fulfilled human being that ever walked the earth was Jesus Christ. Jesus had no hang-ups. Jesus had no issues. Jesus was not defined by phobias. Jesus was not defined by selfish ambition. Jesus Christ was completely whole and he was completely fulfilled. And he was single. See, some people say, I'll get married, then I'll be fulfilled. Jesus Christ is proof that you can live a fulfilled, wholesome life as a single person. I'll leave that at that. We'll talk about that another day. Amen. Jesus said it, even this, it's a profound statement. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was secure and complete in his identity as he reflected the nature of God. And God has chosen you, yes, you and me, to become like Jesus Christ. God's intent is that we become whole, fulfilled, and complete in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, or we could say, or if anyone is defined by Jesus Christ. Just as God created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness, so God today is doing a new creative work in people who are identifying themselves with Jesus Christ. When you choose to be defined by Jesus Christ, then God heals, God repairs, and God makes whole the parts of you that have been disfigured by sin. Come on, everybody! It's more than just about being born again. It's about becoming whole in Jesus Christ. Finally, Colossians 2 verses 6 to 7 says, and this is a profound passage of Scripture. It says, and now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you got born again, so you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong and the truth you are taught you will overflow with thankfulness. So to be like Jesus Christ, follow Jesus. Let your roots grow down into Jesus. Let your life be built on Jesus. Explore Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus. And surrender your whole life to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Throw open every area of your life to Jesus Christ and let Jesus be your all in all. Focus your identity on Jesus Christ and not upon the mistakes of the past. Focus on Jesus. You know, another thing a mistake people make is they try to fight those problems in their life. They try to, you know, use their mental thinking to get over, well, you know, I got a phobia, so I'm going to fight that. It's not about fighting that disfigurement. It's about drawing closer to Jesus Christ. And when you sink your roots down into Jesus, when you say, I surrender all, Lord, to Jesus, then those things you wrestle with, and we all wrestle with them, you know, your weaknesses and the stuff of life, those things then will start to diminish in their power and their influence as you gradually become more and more like Jesus Christ. It is the healthiest thing you can do. Let's start today. Let's start today. Finally, in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are, I reckon there might be a few weary and burdened people here today. Life has a way of making you feel weary and burdened, doesn't it? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you. Today, there is a rest in Jesus Christ. There is a redemptive rest for you in Jesus Christ. And I'll try, I don't have the words for it, but it's kind of like, I think, it's kind of like coming to Jesus and just handing all that stuff over to Him. It's like handing over to Him the authority of your entire life to Him and trusting Him with it. And when you do that, it's like a burden being lifted off your shoulders. The psalmist understood this because he says, He restores my soul. He's not talking about his spirit. He's talking about his soul, that burden. Dear saint of God, today in conclusion, come to Jesus and let Him have the keys to every area of your heart and life today. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will be yours in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. There's a rest in Jesus Christ for you today. Let's pray, shall we? And Father, we just pray You put a real seal upon this word. This word, Lord, I just pray we'll find a lodging place in all of our hearts. Lord, we want to become more like Jesus Christ. We want to surrender to You, Lord. We want You to have all authority in Jesus' name. So just for a moment, let's just linger in the presence of God and let the Holy Spirit just minister to you today. Some of you are weary and you are burdened down and you're doing the best you can. But you need to rest in Jesus today. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.